So there's a Gemara in Sanhedrin. First of all, I'll say it like this. Every Shabbos brings with it the potential of like having clarity in life. You know what I mean? Giluyim, the Rebbeinu Shalom opening a person's eyes. It's brought down in the Svarim that Tzaddikim say that this Shabbos, of all Shabbos, has the biggest potential of giving a person the ability to see reality from a clear vantage point. Because in this parasha we have the whole story of Yosef HaTzadik revealing himself, right? We have the whole, in the previous parashas, Yosef is pretending to be an Egyptian, the viceroy to the Pharaoh, an Egyptian, and he's making the brothers crazy. Get me Binyamin, I don't trust you, you're a bunch of spies, and the brothers don't know what's going on with this psychotic, crazy person. One minute he likes us, another minute he's accusing us of stealing. The whole thing is crazy, and nothing makes any sense. Until the moment where Yosef says the famous words, Ani Yosef, I am Yosef, is my father still alive? And then all of a sudden, everything makes sense. Everything makes sense. And a second ago, this person you were convinced is not just not Jewish, this person is a Ritzeach, he's a murderer, he's an anti-Semite, all that stuff. And a second later, Tzadik Yisrael. Mamesh Yisrael Tzadik, the greatest of the generation, the greatest of the world. So this Shabbos that has that revelation within it, the tzaddikim say, carries with it the potential for a person davens and a person connects to it properly to give a person the eyes to be able to see the truth. That sometimes we often look at people and are convinced, that guy's this, the guy's that, he's an Egyptian, But the truth is, we're just waiting for that day when Hashem opens our eyes and we're able to see all these people as Yosef HaTzadik, All right, so let me share with you an idea. The Gemara says in Sanhedrin, a little bit of a shocking statement. The Gemara says, "Ein ben David ba," the Mashiach will only come ad sheyisya Hashem min hagula. Mashiach will only come when the Jewish people give up hope for redemption. Until there's yish, until there's absolute yish and despair that there's no chance Mashiach is coming, that's when Mashiach will come. Or another way the Gemara puts it in a little bit different way elsewhere is, "Ein ben David ba," Mashiach only comes el mitay chesach hadas, from a lack of awareness. When it's the last thing you'd expect, that's when it happens. And the truth is, there's psukim that indicate this. This is not, the Gemara is not making this up on its own. For example, there's a pasuk in Yeshaya. The pasuk says in Yeshaya in Perek Samach Dalet, Ba'asaischa noirois, the Navi is sort of foretelling the future and sort of looking to the future and seeing the redemption. And he says, Ba'asaischa noirois, Hashem, when you do these unbelievable wonders and miracles with the coming of Mashiach, Asher loy nekave, something that none of us ever hoped for. Asher loy nekave. The problem is, that seems to contradict a very, very basic concept that we say every day in davening, right? For example, in the Bracha Shemoneh Esrei Es Tzemach David, we talk about we want Mashiach to come, we daven for Mashiach, and we say, Kivishuascha, for your salvation, for Mashiach, Kivinu Kol Hayom, we hope for every single day. The Gemara says that one of the first questions that a person is asked after 120 is, Tzipis Lishud, did you look forward to redemption? So it sounds like a little bit counterintuitive, like we should all not daven for Mashiach, completely give up, and then he'll come, right? So what does that mean? It's like, what type of avoid is it? The Rebbeinu wants us to hope for Mashiach, to want Mashiach. And the truth is, in relation to our parsha, we know that there's a concept of Ma'aseh Avosim U'Banim, right? That our ancestors sort of created a model in which the future generations should follow. So, and Chazal talk about that when Yosef HaTzadik said those words, Ani Yosef, and the whole story of Yosef HaTzadik, getting to a place of where he reveals the truth, that's all a symbol and a metaphor, but it's all laying the foundation and the groundwork for what eventually will happen with Mashiach when Hashem says, I am Hashem. And Mashiach says, I am Mashiach. And so, in other words, everything that Yehuda does to lead up to that moment, to convince Yosef and to force Yosef to reveal himself, that's, in a certain sense, reflective of the Jewish people's avoda, getting Hashem to reveal himself with the coming of Mashiach, And when you look at Yehuda, the story of Yehuda, when he has this whole speech to Yosef in the beginning of the parasha, it's full of hope. It's full of confidence. For example, in last week's parasha, at the end, when Yosef confronts the brothers and says, Binyamin stole, and therefore he's going to remain as a slave, and all of you can go home, then Yehuda's full of despair. Yehuda says, what can I say? What can I do? The Rebbeinu Shlom has found the excuse to punish us. Hopelessness. But then Yehuda's mechazik himself. He encourages himself. He says, "V'yigash el Yehuda." He approaches Yosef and he says, "Listen, I'm going to say harsh words and words that, but I have to say it. I have no choice." You can feel the hope and then the confidence and the strength pulsating within Yehuda. And if that's how Yehuda, it's with confidence and strength and hopefulness, if that's how he gets Yosef to reveal the truth of Ani Yosef, then that means that that's what we have to do to get Hashem to reveal the truth of Ani Hashem with the coming of Mashiach. So that means not to give up. So what is it? Are we supposed to give up? Does Mashiach only come from helplessness? Or does Mashiach come from hopefulness, like Yosef reveals himself out of Yehuda's hopefulness? So which one is it? Okay, so let me share with you an idea that we find in the Svarim, in particular the Sefer Beis Yaakov from Rabbi Yaakov Ishbitzer. So he says a phenomenal thing, and once you hear this concept, you see it everywhere, type of thing. He says like this: Kein hu darkei Hashem Yisbarach. This is the way of the Rabbanu Shalom. The following is one of Hashem's rules: Kasher yirtzu lahatzmiach Yeshua la'adam. When Hashem wants to give a salvation, quote unquote, to a person, when Hashem wants to give a person something good, something big. What Hashem first does is that He takes away or He causes problems in something that you already have. And then what? And then Hashem gives you back what you had plus what He wants to give you. He first takes away what you already have, and then He gives you that back to you plus what He wants to give you. It's like you imagine like a wave sometimes, like a tidal wave, like a huge like tsunami. Actually, before the wave comes with all the tremendous like volume of water, the first sign of it is actually when the water is taken away and the water recedes from the ocean, and that's just to tell you that okay, it's going to hit you like a huge wave. You know what I'm saying? So this is how that's how the Rabbanu Shalom works. First, He takes away what you already have as a preparation to give not just that back to you, but to give you even more. And says the Beis Yaakov, that's really what you find in the parasha. So, for example, when Yosef is talking to when Yehuda is talking to Yosef, right, and he's fighting to for something. What's he fighting for? To get Binyamin back. Was he dreaming on any? Was there even a having? Was there even a thought that he would get Yosef back? No. But you see, before Hashem Yisbarach gives Yosef back to the family, He first takes away Binyamin, and then He gives you back Binyamin plus Yosef. That's the way. Now, once you see this sort of model of how Hashem runs the world, you see it in many places. So, for example, the Gemara said that there's a pasuk in Navi that describes the coming of Mashiach in the following way. Listen to the words: "V'ha'yeh b'makom asher yomer loy lehem loy amiyatem." Instead of the Jewish people feeling and being told by the nations of the world, "You are not God's nation," Mashiach will come, and what? Yomer lehem, and they'll be told, "B'nei kol chai," that you're Hashem's children. So it's a funny thing. We're being told, what should the pasuk, again, instead of being told that you're not God's nation, you're going to be told that you're God's children. That's a funny thing. It should say, instead of being told that you're not God's nation, you'll be told you're God's nation. The answer is no. The despair of Golus is that the Jewish people feel we're not even God's nation. So Hashem takes away that feeling from us. But that's all preparing a way for Him to give not just that back to us, but give us something even more, which is that we're God's children. Or another way to put it. The Gemara says the following rule: Ein adam oimed al divrei Torah, that a person cannot really conquer and acquire any particular Torah, like a corner of Torah, a certain area of learning, unless you've made a mistake in that area first. So why have to make a mistake? Why can't I just not understand it? let me just not understand it, then I understand it. No. In order to acquire something, you have to not just not understand it, you have to make a mistake. There has to be darkness that precedes the light. Why can't there just be twilight? I don't know. Why does it have to be dark? You know what I mean? There's such a thing. Why in this form we're familiar with the concept of every aliyah, every ascent has to be preceded by a yerida. You have to go down in order to go up. Why? Why can't I just stay put and then go up? No, that's not the way it is. The Rosh Hashanah first takes away what you have, and then gives that back to you, and then some. Why? That's the question. Why? Why is this the rule? So there's many different ways how to explain it. Let me explain it in the following way. One way to think of it is as follows. In order for anything to happen, in order for a person to get anything in life, the Rabbanu Shalom needs you to daven for it. Just the way it is. The Rabbanu Shalom needs you to daven, needs us to daven. The Rabbanu Shalom needs us to ask. The Rabbanu Shalom says, I'll give, but you need to ask. But here's the problem. The problem is that when you're talking about, let's say, Mashiach, right? The neshama maybe knows what that means. So each and every one of us, we have a neshama, and the neshama knows who God is. The neshama knows like what that's going to be like when Mashiach comes. So the neshama doesn't have a problem davening for Mashiach and asking for Mashiach. But the problem is the neshama doesn't have a mouth. The neshama doesn't, you know, have a tongue. The neshama needs our mouths and our tongue to give it a voice. And the problem is that who we are as human beings, we have no idea what Mashiach means. It's very, very hard to daven for something if you have no idea what it is. Like, why wasn't Yehuda davening for Yosef to be returned? Because as far as Yehuda is concerned, Yosef's dead. I mean, there's no chance. Yehuda couldn't even conceptualize, what would it be like for Yosef to come? I have no idea. I can't even conceptualize such a thing. But yet, so we have this problem. The neshama within us is davening, it wants Mashiach. The problem is it doesn't have a mouth. And the mouth that we can give it, which is our own mouths, we don't even know what that means. So what does Rabban Hashem do? What the Rabban Hashem does is that he takes away something you already have, which gives you the ability to daven for that. But contained in that voice that you're offering to Hashem, davening for something which is very practical, and you had it 10 minutes ago, and so you know what it is, and you're willing and happy to daven for that, the Rabban Hashem makes it in such a way that contained in that voice is really the neshama davening for something much greater. So for example, every time we daven Shmoneh Esrei, right? And we're davening, let's say there's someone, God forbid, someone in the family that's like not feeling well. So we say, Rafeinu, we daven to Hashem that this person should feel better. You know what's happening at that moment? Two different tefillahs. The mouth that you're saying, who you are as a regular human being, what are you davening for? You're davening for, listen, this guy, you know, 2 weeks ago was healthy and well, and I remember what that was like, and I'm asking Hashem, give that back to me, or give that health back to this person. But you know what the neshama is saying at the same time? What the neshama is saying is, the neshama is saying, you human being, you don't even know what health means. You have no idea what health means. What does healthy mean to you? What it was 2 weeks ago? The neshama says, when Mashiach comes, that's called health. And so the neshama sort of hijacks, I guess you can say, hijacks those words that you're saying, which when you say it, you mean, I just want this guy to feel better because he has a headache and I want the headache to go away. But the neshama is saying, you're davening for refuah, you don't even know what refuah means. So I'm going to use the words that you're saying as a vehicle to express my tefillah, which is something much bigger than you could possibly imagine. When Yehuda, I'm sorry, is sort of davening, he's talking to this person, you know, he doesn't know it's Yosef, he's talking to this person, really he's davening. And what is he saying? He's saying, Ribbono Shel Olam, Yaakov Avinu loved Rachel. And Yaakov Avinu has a son from Rachel named Binyamin. And if Binyamin is taken away from Yaakov Avinu, it's going to end his life. Your mama, she can't handle it. I can't face that scene. I'm responsible for it. Ribbono Shel Olam, please bring back the son of Rachel. Who is Yehuda thinking? He's thinking Binyamin. But his neshama at the time, what is his neshama thinking? Yosef. And so the Ribbono Shel Olam therefore gives you back what he took away and then some. Because in order for you to daven for something that you've never experienced, you can't expect that of us. So the Rebbeinu Shlom does is that he takes away something that you did experience, giving you the ability to daven for that. But then what Mashiach is that on steroids. So every time a person davens for hatzlacha, for peace of mind, we think we know what peace of mind means. Because I had peace of mind 2 weeks ago before this difficulty came. And I'm davening just to get back to 2 weeks ago. The Neshama is saying, you have no idea what peace of mind means. You think 2 weeks ago was peaceful. You have no hasag of what peace is. But I'm going to use your words and I'm going to use that as a vehicle to express my tefillah. And my tefillah is much, I'm asking for something much bigger than yours. And the Rabbanu Shalom now hears that. And the Rabbanu Shalom says, I hear that you're now being mispa'al, you're not davening, not just for a little peace of mind from, you know, to stop what happened 2 weeks ago. You're davening for something much bigger. And I'm going to give you back Binyamin and then Yosef as well. Rav Kook wrote a commentary to the Siddur. Listen to what Rav Kook says. This is like, it's just beautiful, beautiful words. He says like this, Ein atfila baki tikuna, kiyem etaycha machshava. The only way a person can truly daven properly is if you have the following thought in mind. If you think the following way, then your tefillah can really be powerful. What is that? That the neshama is always davening. That if you want to daven shacharis, open it to Tehillim, or just talk to God in your own language, and you want that to be a really deep, transcendent moment, then realize that the truth is, your neshama has always been davening. And what's your neshama davening for? Something more than you could possibly imagine. What's the problem? The problem is, Allahi afu misbarakas al daida, and the neshama is always trying to, like a baby bird he describes, like trying to use its wings to fly up and trying to get out of the... it wants to talk. It wants to express itself in ways that it doesn't have a mouth to do it, and we don't understand what it's really asking for. So what happens when you're practically davening? Shachas mincha ma'ariv, tehillim, opening a siddur, or just talking to God. What's happening when you open your physical mouth? You are giving a physical expression, you are giving a voice to that neshama, which is always davening for something much bigger than you could possibly imagine. And now when you say the words, which in your physical human mind, you're thinking something very, very tiny, the neshama uses those words in its way of expressing a desire for something much, much bigger. And the Rebbeinu Shlomo hears both. And the Rebbeinu Shlomo gives you what you want in your human little perspective, and then some. And this is, Rav Kook, is what's beautiful and what's delicate and what's glorious about tefillah. It could be compared to like the petals of a rose that opens itself up to receive the dew. You know, like that type of imagery. You know, there's like, the neshama is just waiting for the words because it knows what it's doing. So he says, "V'lochin, and therefore halavai she spelled and kolam kol. Therefore, halavai person should daven all day, because the truth is, we are davening all day. And this is such a big, avoida every time. You know, so let's say practically. You know, obviously, there's what's going on in the world right now, in the Jewish world, and you know, there's a lot of people feel very unsettled and very anxious and very nervous and it's unsettling. You know, our grandparents and great grandparents, they were used to like anti-Semitism and all that stuff. We Baruch Hashem, we're not used to that stuff." And it makes us feel a little bit like a lack of confidence and a lack of security, you know? So when we daven, that is an example. When we're davening for Hashem, I just want there should be peace. What do we mean when we say peace? We mean 3 weeks ago. That's what we mean. But the neshama says, you human being, you're so small and so tiny. You think that's peace. What was 3 weeks ago is peace. You have no hasag of what peace is. Mashiach is peace. Mashiach is perfection. That's shleimus. But you're a human being, we don't know what it means. So all we daven for is what? Is that we should have a little bit of menucha. We should be able to walk the streets and have confidence and to go to shul without having to worry about hiring armed guards and all this craziness. And that's what we're davening for. But the neshama uses those words and says, Ribbono Shel Olam, I know this guy, this bag of bones and bag of flesh, he's thinking peace like in his mind, but I'm telling you, you know what peace means. And that's what I'm davening for. Whenever the Rabbanu Shalom, therefore, a person should know that whenever the Rabbanu Shalom seems, on a personal level or a national level, the Rabbanu Shalom seems to be taking something away from us that we once were used to, it's not, the Rabbanu Shalom is just getting us ready to give us something much, much more. Giving that back to us, but in a much more profound way. So Hashem should help that we should be zechut to be mechazik ourselves like this. We have to be like, and going back to the beginning, this is what it means, the contradiction that I said. Are we supposed to give up hope for Mashiach or fight for it? The answer is, really what Mashiach is beyond our wildest imaginations. There's nothing that we, you know, what we can do, what we should do, is hope and daven and be hopeful to daven for things that we can imagine to be perfect. You know what I'm saying? When Mashiach means peace. What does peace mean? The actual peace of Mashiach, we have no idea. But we can imagine what peace is in terms of our little universe. So we're hoping for that. And then contained within that tefillah, which is hopeful about something that we've experienced once upon a time, called hope and peace and tranquility, in that, the neshama is davening for something much, much greater. And so the actual Mashiach is way beyond, it's above our radar. But we have to give... We have to give that vessels, you know, so we have to give that a voice and give it words to be able to express itself in a down-to-earth way. And in that regard, we're always full of hope. And we daven to Hashem for all these things, because everything He takes away, again, He's taking that away in order to pave the way to give it that back to us in a much, much deeper, more profound way. Hashem shall be zaycha to get everything back. Everything back with kiflan, with sheshev, b'yaskal tzedek, m'hervimenu, amen. Thank you, Hashem.